Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980. It's a Wizards game day, so Dave Johnson will join us about 25 minutes from now. We also pick Commanders and Cowboys coming up before the end of the show. Real things, real people said in real microphones. Some funny sound to round out your Friday as you drive through the snow. Oh, Anthony, I forgot because it's dark out now. I can open my shades in my office here. And I could see, is it still snowing sideways outside? Do we have a fun little blizzard? We both can't be away from the microphones at once.
Not anymore. It looks like things are clear.
Okay. Well, tell you what. We're going to go with our pick six right now. And when you play this open, I'm gonna sprint over and open my shades so I can see outside.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
You know what's sad, Anthony?
What?
All I see is the reflection of my lighting in the window pane. I can't actually even see outside. We tried. Okay, time for our Pick 6. On Fridays, the Pick 6 at 6 consists of us picking the six players that we think are most likely to affect the outcome of the game. There is one gigantic exception, and that is that we are not allowed to pick the quarterbacks. It's too obvious, it's too easy, and inevitably they're going to come up in the discussion anyway. So with that, Anthony, who's got number one this week? Are you up? Am I on the tee?
You're up.
All right, hit the magic button, please. Micah Parsons. He's playing. There was a chance that he wasn't going to play because he injured his wrist yesterday in practice, but everything was apparently fine. He was a full participant today. He has no injury designation, and he is a game wrecker, and he is pretty much the only game wrecker on the field. I guess Terry and Jaden kind of get that designation as well, but for Dallas, he's the one guy that can really mess up your day. Sure, Jalen Tolbert's good, and maybe he even winds up coming up later in this pick six after what he did on the kickoff return against them the first time. But Micah is the guy that you have to worry about, especially because Tyler Biadasz is unlikely to play. He's listed as doubtful. So yeah, it's obvious. No, this isn't earth-shattering, but oh my God, you have to have a plan for Micah Parsons, who, by the way, was, in the first game, deployed very differently. That's still the game that they have moved him around the front the most. They've done it a lot more in this back half of the season where Mike has been incredible and their defense has been a lot better until basically last week. But still, they have not lined him up inside as much as they did in that first Washington game, so I expect to see it again in part deux.
That's a great pick. I'm going to go with number two.
Number two.
I was going to go with a lineman as well, but I'm going to pivot. I'm going to go to Kevontae Turpin for the Dallas Cowboys. Ever since, you know, I guess they downgraded CD to, I guess, IR, I think he's on now.
Yeah, he's on IR.
They've tried to, you know, get Kevontae Turpin involved more and more, and we know how dynamic he is when he has the ball in his hands. He did have a huge kickoff return against us, and then he also had a 38-yard kick return in the game we play here in Washington. So I'm expecting, you know, Dallas to try to get him a little bit more involved just because of how dynamic he is when he has the ball in his hands. They line him up in the backfield. They've gotten him passes in the screen game as well. So I'm expecting us to, you know, try to just, you know, limit him and limit his impact overall. I don't want to see him, you know, with chances to, you know, return anything just because of what he did last time against us.
Yeah, I think that also last time, you know, that was, I'm trying, was it Seibert was still the kicker? Yeah, and obviously he missed the extra point. But also, I asked Dan Quinn after the game, like, did you consider just kicking the ball out of the end zone? He's like, well, it's not as easy as you think. Zane Gonzalez can kick the ball out of the end zone. Lots of other NFL kickers kick the ball out of the end zone. Just, especially, look, Tyler Owens out, Jordan McGee out, two of your top special teams guys. They're still going to be just fine, I think, if they have to protect. But, like, we know the ball flies in that building. Brandon Aubrey's one of the best in the game and can send the ball to the moon. Just kick the ball through the end zone this week. No Kevontae Turpin silliness. Let's do that.
Number three.
I typically try to avoid picking Terry McLaurin because, again, the stars are obvious. And I know I picked Parsons first, so I'm breaking my own rules this week. But there's been a significant change in Terry McLaurin's game since the first Cowboys game that's worth bringing up and worth mentioning. And that is, they have moved him around significantly more. This was the Dallas game the first time around, was basically the last straw for Terry as left side Terry, if you will. Since that game, he has been moving around not just to the right side, but he's lined up more in the slot as well. And there's actually some stats that I can give you to help back up slash inform that. Terry McLaurin, in their first matchup, first of all, it made him very easy to find. Deron Bland was on him for 23 of his 33 routes, allowing two catches for 6 yards on two targets. Of course, Terry had three catches for 96 yards, including the 86-yard miracle play lined up on the right side. But overall, McLaurin, if I can find this stat, here we go, lined up on the right side of the formation just 5.3% of his snaps during the first 12 weeks of the season. So up to and including the Dallas game. Since that, week 13, he has done so on 19.8 of his snaps. So now one out of every five snaps, he is on the right side. It used to be one out of every 20. Particularly, McLaurin has lined up on such positions on 31% of his snaps during third and fourth downs. From that alignment, McLaurin has totaled 63 yards and 2 touchdowns on 32 routes, averaging 2 yards per route run. On the opposite side, he's recorded 130 yards and 2 touchdowns, average 1.8 yards per route run. So he's running similar stuff. He's you know, the production's pretty much the same, but it's higher in general because he's harder to find. It's harder to play in your defense. I assume Deron Bland will follow him around. He followed A.J. Brown around last week. That's kind of what they do down there. But I think Terry moving around more, the ability to get him the ball quickly, especially after he had a quiet game last week, like, I expect a screen to Terry on the first series. That's kind of how they do it, and with good reason. He brings such energy to the game. Terry McLaurin, have yourself a day to celebrate your Pro Bowl appearance. All right, that's the first three in our pick six. We'll get to the last three players that we think will have such a big or an outsized impact in this game next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa Chicken. How you wanna at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. Dave Johnson joins us talking a little Zardos. Alex Sarr, Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month. Got to love that. Dave's coming up in 10 minutes or so, probably closer to 15, if we're being honest with ourselves, because we have the back half of the pick six to get to now here as we tell you who we think is going to matter the most in the matchup between the Commanders and the Cowboys. We've broken our own rules a little bit to get started. Specifically, I have, because I picked a couple of star players, but with only one real star for the Cowboys remaining, with CeeDee Lamb hurt, Dak Prescott long out, I picked Micah Parsons one, Anthony with an excellent pick of Kevontae Turpin, the Cowboys ace return man, Pro Bowler himself this week, number two. One of the two Commanders Pro Bowlers, Terry McLaurin, third, because of how much Terry's game has changed and how they've deployed him since the Cowboys game the first time around, which means, Anthony, you are up for
number four.
I'm sort of kind of torn. Would it be crazy for me to pick a third Cowboy? Would it be crazy?
No, because I think I know who you're going to go with. I'm going to start typing in the doc. Is that who you're going with?
Let me go over to the doc. It is Rico Dowdle.
Rico.
He's had 100-yard games in four of his last five games. They've definitely shown an emphasis, you know, of getting him the ball, trying to establish the run. They should have done this earlier in the season. I was surprised they, you know, went away from it. But he's proven to be a solid back in the league. And I actually came across a crazy stat. He's the first undrafted running back to ever have or to ever rush for 1,000 yards in Cowboys franchise history. So I think that just speaks to a testament to like who he's been for them all season. And if we can limit him, if, you know, we can go out there and do away with one of the weaknesses that, you know, has plagued this Commanders defense all season long, and that's the rushing defense, I think that would be some good momentum going into the playoffs. And I know Joe Witt was asked about it all this week, you know, why is the run game so bad, you know, and how to necessarily address it. So I think that would be a huge focus in this game with Dallas down so many people.
Yeah, I think it's a great call because it encompasses a lot of things that the Commanders have to do. Their run fits at the second and third level were not very good last week, but also the D-line clearly did not do enough, and they made that huge change in the second half to put Daron Payne out there on the edge, and that's a nice club to have in your bag, but it's not one you want to have to pull out. You'd like to have your rotation of those guys inside, have Furl and Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler setting the edge, Javonte Jean-Baptiste setting the edge, and not have to deal with that. But if you do need to go that route, one, is Daron your answer? Two, do you try John out there as well? Probably not. Like, I don't know why you then move Daron back inside if it worked well. But it is something to consider. And so I'm curious if they deploy that personnel package at all, or do they put it back in the bag and then break it out if they need it against, say, Tampa or L.A.? Or do they go back to it, get a little more practice with it? And obviously stopping the run becomes very important. I do think it's worth mentioning that, you know, the run game could take a twist for Dallas if they decide to play Trey Lance, although the reporting from Dallas is that is very unlikely for what feels almost like a silly reason, but actually like respect to the Cowboys if this is true, because Cooper Rush has a pretty significant bonus if he plays 55% of the snaps this season. And he's going to have to play like 60 snaps to get it. He's currently at 52.8. And so they need like a 60 snap game where he plays 100% of the snaps for him to get across that threshold. And thus playing Trey Lance for any snap, unless they have two quarterbacks out there and some kind of trickeration, means that that's one snap closer to Cooper Rush not getting his bonus. Unless they're going to screw over Cooper Rush, which does not seem to be how they want to treat Cooper Rush, who's treated them very well. Cooper Rush's record as a Cowboys starter is like 10-2 or something. I mean, the Cowboys have won 4 of 6 with him there, and he was like 6-0 coming into the season. It's kind of wild. But it's not like he's exactly killed it. But it does feel like it'll just be the traditional run game, not some kind of tricked up quarterback run game with Trey Lance out there and Cooper Rush playing. Meanwhile, on the Commander side of things.
Number 5.
My last pick, I'm going to go with Michael Dieter, the center, who's likely to play in place of Tyler Biadasz. And the Commanders' run game has been inconsistent. It has been particularly bad when Biadasz is not out there, although they did get going in the second half last week after Biadasz had gotten hurt and Dieter was there. The other big thing, though, I wanted to mention the Commanders' offensive line because of all of the penalties that they have picked up. And Dieter has had some when he has played, but Biadasz has had some as well. Sam Cosmi is just having a funky couple of weeks here where the play actually was a little better last week, but there's obviously some really high-profile penalties that the Commanders chalk up to a technique issue where the referees are seeing something in a way that's not actually a hold but looks like a hold, and so they got to get that straightened out. You know, Coleman's had some, Wiley's had some, Lucas has had some, Trent Scott's had, everybody who's playing on this offensive line. Too many penalties. And I would just like a game, Anthony, where they play really clean football and remember what that feels like going into the playoffs. Because they can beat the Dallas Cowboys committing 7 or 8 penalties. They just can. They're better. They are not going to be able to do that against the best of the best. It's wild that they did it against Philly a couple weeks ago, but there's obviously a lot of weird stuff that winds up happening in that game. I just think that getting the offensive line back playing good clean football where they can go on these 10, 12 play drives and not have to overcome a first and 20 twice would be, it would make everybody feel good inside. And isn't that what the holiday season's all about?
It's all about, man.
All right. Who you got wrapping up for number six?
Number six. I tried to go away from these guys, but I'm going to go back to Benjamin St. Juice. I actually want to see Benjamin St. Juice out there a little bit more. I think we took for granted. I'm not going to say like he's a, you know, the best corner out there.
Who's we?
I would say me. And
who's we?
Me and my army. That's me.
Damn, but, Anthony, there were so many people in that army trying to fight me, I didn't even realize you were in it.
Yeah. I mean, as much crap as we gave, you know, Benjamin St. Juice for those bad plays and those poor spots, on a down and down basis, like, he played solid. And I just want to see a game where he can, you know, just play discipline and be foul free. And
I'd like to see a game where he plays solid and doesn't lose his mind on a 3rd and 15 and do something incredibly silly.
With that too.
Yeah. No. And again,
but we might need him though, for real.
My argument was never that he was good or that the bad plays that you saw were fake and your eyes were deceiving you. It was just simply that he was better than the next guy. And that was, and that, like, down in, down out, he's pretty good. And like last week, he actually thought he played pretty well. It was 15 snaps. And I actually like the plan that Joe Witt suggested of some kind of rotation. I think that Benjamin St. Juice should be the starter. Although, if you wanted to say for game plan purposes, going back to your Rico Dowdle of it all, that if you want a stronger run unit out there and Michael Davis is your guy, fine. I just think it limits you in terms of the coverages that you should be calling with him on the field. You're going to have to play a ton of cover two. And the Commanders actually played a some two-man last week and really, like, passed stuff off well. It was a good coverage for them. Some key situations that Penix was lost with nowhere to go against some two-man. So I don't hate the idea of Michael Davis as long as he's got safety help over the top and he can play like that, where it's, you're not giving up these deep outs and deep comebacks and things because you're so scared of getting beat over the top. Now, I would say the same thing about Juice, who's more capable of covering that stuff, but also, don't panic. Just stay within yourself. So, I think it's a great call. It's one of the stories of the week. I mean, we kind of hit with our last two, the two big stories of the week, the offensive line and the cornerback situation. So, I think it's a good job by us. Pat on the back, and I'm very curious to see how it goes against a CeeDee Lamb-less offense there for Dallas. And can the combination of those two, where that's kind of been where they're at their best this year, when they've rotated, can that be the best version of the Commanders defense that exists without Marshawn Lattimore, who is out for the game on Sunday? When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Dave Johnson joins us. It's a Wizards game day. We'll talk to Dave about the Wizards' win earlier this week over the Chicago Bulls and Alex Saar winning Rookie of the Month in the Eastern Conference.